Second Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. And all things that are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God.
You may be seated, except for Brother Huffman. Come on up. I mentioned church planting missionary, he and his family, to Brazil for about the last 18 years, and he's going to show some of the things that God's done in the work there, and then he's also going to challenge us with the word. So, Brother Huffman.
Thank you. All right, always a blessing to be at Emmanuel and being out in this part of the country too and see God's majesty in a lot of different ways than what we see in Georgia or in Brazil. So I'd like to share by way of pictures some things that God has done and has used your church as part of that, and being we see in 1 Corinthians 3:9 that we are laborers together with God. So we are part of a small part, our family is a small part of a huge church planting team that God has raised up for Brazil, and you're part of that big team, and we're so thankful for that. So, we good? Oh, I need to do the thing. That would help if I used the clicker, right? Okay, so good. In Sunday school, I introduced some of my family. In the back row, Christina is our second oldest, 17, be 18 in November. Of course, my wife and I, Kim, in the middle, and certainly have enjoyed serving Christ with her, and she's a huge blessing to me. Jessica is here, not only in picture, but just raise your hand, Jessica, she's here in person. So certainly a blessing to be together with Jessica, and we had some time together at a Sublette County rodeo last night, right? And that was an experience. I tell you, I really enjoyed that. But at the beginning of the rodeo, I looked at Jessica, I said, we weren't raised this way, were we? I mean, some of those peewee riders or junior riders, whatever they call them, they're more of a man than I am. I just, I have my hat, I don't even wear hats, but my hat's off to them. I praise God for that. It was a neat experience. Audrey in the front, is 14, be 15 in a few days. Michael is 5, starting kindergarten here in August. And Mary Kate's going into third grade. She's 8 and will be starting school soon too. So they're in Macon right now, except Audrey, she's in Alabama on a missions trip. Kids have really been a blessing to not only my wife and I, but just to the ministry, really opening the doors through their friends, and they have different talents and abilities through sports, city sports in Itupeva, neighborhood friends. There was a period of time where the end of our street was just the place to gather, I guess because we had 5 that we could add to the mix, and so volleyball and whatever else was going on was a lot of fun as we met kids in our neighborhood. Jessica decided to leave us a year ago, and this was moving her into the dorm at Bob Jones University. She's finished 1 year there and would be going back this fall, beginning her junior year. She was able to get ahead a little bit through dual enrollment, so she's enjoyed the year there. But she did bring notice. Let's see if I can use this. Okay, can't use it. Well, anyway, you see the Brazil thing at the bottom? The Brazil flag is a rug, so she had to take part of Brazil to Bob Jones. So that was neat. She's been there and certainly met a lot of people and been involved in ministry. Christina loves to play the piano, just involved in music, loves to sing. In fact, I miss Jessica and Christina as they would wash dishes at home. Oftentimes they would sing, and I miss that. So I certainly enjoyed watching Christina play the piano and with other church members and brothers and sisters in Christ in our church there in Brazil. And she is really enjoying that. Audrey is kind of a social bug of our family, loves to be around people, and these are some of her friends. Jennifer, right next to her, is younger than she is, but a close friend, and Her parents came to know Christ through our ministry, and Jennifer also as well, so it's neat to see how they've grown in Christ. Mary Kate's in the middle of kids often and enjoys being part of that and just whatever's going on. Michael is Michael. He's everywhere. So he's holding the flag here, very composed, but this is normally how you would see Michael. So he just, wherever he's at, the photographer happened to catch him. I'm not sure what he was doing in the church building at that point, but Michael is fun, and I think he's going to do something with his hands. He loves working with tools, and if I'm doing some at the church job site or at the house, he likes to be right there with me, and I'm not sure he's always fixing things, but at least he's trying. He's got the idea. He's trying to do that. But we've enjoyed serving Christ as a family, and it certainly is a team ministry. I'm not the missionary to Brazil. We are the missionaries in Brazil, and whatever God has us do, we want to do it together as a family. That's certainly the team that he's put together. First 10 years we spent in São Paulo. I won't go back to day one. Many of you have followed us from that. We had the chance to help plant two churches in the city of São Paulo, also an evangelistic preschool, elementary school that now ministers to about 140 kids each weekday. And then in 2010, we moved out of the city of São Paulo to the city of Jundiaí and Itupeva, are two neighboring cities close by. We began a Bible study in the home that we were renting in Jundiaí in November of 2010. Moved there in April, searched, you know, high and low for land for several months, began to get frustrated, and my wife had the novel idea of starting a Bible study in our home. I was like, well, I don't know if we're going to end up planting a church here. She said, well, could it hurt to have a Bible study in our home? I said, you got a point, honey. It's not going to hurt, right? Let's start a Bible study. So we started a meeting. This was the very first Bible study. We had some families that we'd met in the neighborhood that were unchurched. Some of these families were already saved, but others were not. And so it was neat to, from day one, begin to share the gospel and help others to grow in their faith and understand the importance of being part of a local church. Did crafts in the hallway and bedrooms and just using whatever space we had. Kim was using, as you can see, Christina's bedroom for junior church and teaching Bible stories and things. But exciting to get started. You know, that initial phase is really neat to see God work in some amazing ways. In January of 2011, Dean and Lori and their family were with us. We were meeting in a Bible study, but we had not purchased this land yet. So God provided the opportunity to buy land in the neighboring city of Itupeva. It was commercially zoned, good location, a lot of homes behind that. It was on a main road in the city. So very good location, and God provided the funds also to buy land. I didn't know how we were going to build, but land was the first step, right? So if you don't have land to build on, you can't build anything. But after we built it, I remember looking at the grass and thinking, okay, God, now what? What are we going to do now? We've done everything we could to raise money to buy land. But God has been so faithful. After we bought land in March of 2011, just a few weeks later, we were able to rent a house closer to the land in the city of Itupeva. And we hosted a special supper for those that had been coming to the Bible study, and began to explain to them the purposes, the principles of a local church, and our prayer and goal to start a local church in the city of Itupeva. So this was that special night, April 17th, 2011. That is kind of what we have dubbed as our anniversary date, our birth date of the church, and a great time of fellowship and casting the vision, explaining to them what a church is all about, looking at Acts 2 and some of the principles and purposes of a church. Katya is a young lady from one of our churches in São Paulo, and she began to come out and help in children's ministry. She would take a couple buses and then get on a metro and then later get on a train that would take her all the way out. It was about a three-hour journey one way, and she did that faithfully for many weekends. Then we found a shorter route through a freighted bus line that we were able to get her out more often. But she was a huge asset and influence in our children, even our own children, just coming out. And it was neat to see our church in São Paulo having an active part in the new church plant about an hour west of São Paulo in Itupeva. This is the top part of the home that we rented. It's kind of a general bonus room. I use it as my office. It was the guest room, and it was also the auditorium. So we met there for a good portion of the time and began to see people accept Christ, and for the church family began to grow. We started, initially it was just Bible studies, and then we started to add some music, and of course recruited my daughters. You know, you're going to sing with me, and a blessing to add music and worship to the time there each Sunday. The ladies then began to have a ladies' meeting. Went to a restaurant in our area, kind of a hobby farm, and a real special time of fellowship. But when ladies go out without their kids and husbands, they get kind of crazy, right? So they're just being crazy. Now I want you to notice this. This is my wife Kim. She's beautiful. Amen. We have learned a lot through the years from Dean and Lori. But I included this picture on purpose because Kim learned, first of all, this face from Lori at camp, and she's used it much through the years. So I wanted to give that a tribute to Lori and her fun personality and face. So anyway, they had a good time. We had a men's meeting, outreach opportunity, trying to invite men from our neighborhood, coworkers and friends. And some of the men there, in fact, the guy right under the goal in the black shirt next to me, Fernando, you'll see him later in the slides. He was unsaved at this point, began coming. Other neighbors that were present. And neat to be able to be involved in the lives of men and the leaders of the homes and begin to share with them about Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, and see them come to know Christ as their Savior. First teen activities. Christine and Jessica have grown a little bit since then, but neat to see the teens grow in Christ. And children are a very important part of the ministry. They aren't just the future of our ministry. They are a vital part of our ministry right now. Amen? And I'm excited when I see kids in church. I met a good row of some of them here earlier, and I love to see kids involved in a church ministry. That is exciting. It brings energy. So to see the kids come to know Christ, begin to pray and learn who Jesus is, using our living room area there to sing and learn about Christ. Katya, again, is there in the back, and she is a very important part of coming every week and helping the kids learn more about Christ, discipling them, helping them come to the point where they could get baptized as well. Church family began to have a strong identity together, and we would do some special outings. This was at a local park, and really had a great time grilling out and just spending time together as a family. This was still in the bonus room as we were meeting in the church there, or in our house for about a year and a half. And then thankfully the Lord allowed us soon after that to rent a building right next to our property. And that was very convenient as we had work groups coming in and beginning to work on the building, but then also rent a building next to it, have services. At the same time, this was December of 2012. At the same time, Gledson, his wife Barbara, or Barbara, and their son David, came. They graduated from Bible College, came to begin to work with us in December of 2012. He is now pastoring the church and leading the church forward. But that was a crucial step in our ministry, not only to move out of our home into a rented building, but also to bring some national leadership and begin to cast the vision to the church even more that we won't be here forever and we shouldn't be here forever, and that God wants to raise leadership up to move the ministry forward. 4 years ago when I was here, if I remember correctly, I believe that this was about where the building was at that point, and I had a lot of volunteer laborers, both Brazilians and Americans, coming from a lot of different places and states, and sacrificing time and money to help us build the building. And it's been a blessing to now be in the building for God's glory. March of 2016, God allowed us to move into part of the building and begin to use this. So this was some of our people just coming together for a work day, trying to get the auditorium ready. And March of 2016, we had our first service. There's no windows or doors in the building at that point, but the tile was on the floor, and we were able to use the auditorium and then some of the not bedrooms, but classrooms upstairs in the second story And then the downstairs, the rest of the classrooms and kitchen, some of them were still just dirt and block wall, you know, the concrete rough walls. But little by little began to do more and more as people came. But it was special to be in the building that first service and just to know that God had brought us to that point and used a lot of people to help that happen. So spent some time in God's Word, and then at the end, finished in prayer. And I challenged the people that although we were in a building and excited about the building, that our ministry would always be founded on prayer. Because you can do a lot of things, but without prayer, you're not going to go very far. And that was neat to pray together. October of 2016, the church voted for Gladson to become the permanent pastor. We had spent a lot of time with he and his wife and mentoring him, training him for that goal. In October of 2016, they elected him as their permanent pastor. And then in January of 2017 was when his official start date was as a permanent pastor. He had been involved in ministry, but not in that position officially. So January of 2017, we had a special service, dedication service, to dedicate his ministry to Christ, but also to celebrate that step as a new church to becoming autonomous, to coming closer to the point where we could to leave and do something more for Christ. So this was special dedication service that we had for his ministry. His home church in the city of São Paulo, a lot of them were able to come out for that, and they were a huge partnership with us in this last church plant, helping with funds, helping with people, and really a blessing to see a Brazilian church, pastored by a Brazilian. The pastor at that point had been there for about 25 years, but actively helping plant other churches and joining with us to make that happen. Praying for Pastor Gladson and Barbara that God would give them wisdom. We had other area pastors and missionaries come, you know, with us as well for that special time of prayer. Shortly after dedication service, he called together the deacons. This was also a time where we had new deacons start, and it was our first time to have deacons in the church. And so we brought together the deacons, their wives, and some of the other leaders in the church. And he began to share his heart and what his goals were for the 2017 ministry year and a special time of fellowship together looking forward. Had some progress in the building, so windows and doors later were put in, some extra finish work done inside the building, painting, and really a blessing to have that ministry tool of the building. As the church grows, there's a balcony that can be used as well to seat more people. And we've already used that on some occasions for Christmas, Easter, some special occasions. We've been able to use the balcony already for that. This is the outside of the church. It's called Igreja Batista Liberdade, Liberty Baptist Church of Itupeva. It's the name of our city, outside of the church at night. But all that is just to be used as a tool so that we can really focus on the ministry of God's Word. And we value preaching. We have weekly services where we open God's Word and learn together and study Scripture. And preaching is a very key part of our ministry. You see young people come together, middle-aged, older people, kids, all together to be able to learn from God's Word what it means to be a church, how to live as a church in the body of Christ. Starts from day one as kids are born and in the nursery ministry. We try to make that not just a babysitting time, but even before they can read and understand a lot, we're already trying to sing and learn some verses together with the little kids to begin to lay that foundation of Jesus Christ. And then junior church have a strong program. We call them Liber Kids. So Liberdade or Liberty, Liber Kids is our junior church program. Also involved in five-day clubs. The church just had a vacation Bible school, had a high day, I believe, of 78 children and 33 helpers, I think. So I was thrilled to hear that they almost had, one helper for every two kids and excited to see the church move forward. But our kids are a very vital part of our ministry. The junior high class, Sunday school class, some of the kids are behind where I took the picture. I've got about 8 or 9, probably 10 at this point in that class. And one of our men is a faithful teacher, really pours his life into the junior hires. We call them Liberteens. And then we have the Liber Jovens. Now, interesting, Brazil, Jovens means 8, you know, 15, 16 or so years old until you get married. So we've got some older Jovens, 22, 23, and then in some churches even older than that, so that's part of the culture there. But exciting to see the teens and the older young people, college age and so forth, growing in Christ. Tiago was to the far left. His wife Marcella is next to Audrey in the middle. And they have stepped into the leadership of that program, helping to, with the national pastor, to move that ministry forward. We've also instituted small groups within our Sunday school classes, adult and teen Sunday school classes. At the end of each Sunday school period, we divide up the groups into smaller groups where they can talk about their walk in Christ. They can talk about people they're praying for to come to know Christ, have some accountability, also ministering to one another. And then beyond the Sunday school period, at least once a month, sometimes several times a month, small groups will meet in different homes throughout the region. And we've seen that as a tool to bring neighbors and coworkers to be able to hear God's word and understand what true community is all about in Christ. Some other special events that we do to reach the community. This is Children's Day. And October 12th, which happens to be my wife's birthday, is the official Children's Day in Brazil. Can you imagine having a children official day for you, right? It is there in Brazil. So we have a Children's Day festival and rent some blow-up things. I have several stations that they go to, and one of the stations that they must go through during that day is a Bible story where they can hear a clear presentation of the gospel. And a lot of our church people help in that activity here. This is one of the groups that was coming through the Bible story time and hearing the gospel be presented. Christmas also serves as a Christmas cantata where a lot of our church people come together, train as a choir, and sing to Jesus and sing for His glory, invite their neighbors and friends. We had a lot of, I believe we had 40 first-time visitors come this last Christmas to that. And so it was exciting to see a lot of family members, unsaved family members and neighbors and coworkers be at church for the Christmas celebration this last year. Then just use the building as God allows for special activities, couples activities, special fellowships. We're Baptists and we enjoy eating, right? So this was a special treat. Right before we left, the end of April, the kitchen was completed to the point that we were able to use it for the very first time. So this picture was taken the night that we headed to the city of the airport, and neat to see the kitchen being used for Christ. Part of, in addition, really as a vital part of our ministry, not just services and not just the big activities, but discipleship is key. You have the big things, the big events, but really, I believe where a lot of the growth and a lot of the salvation decisions that we've seen is around a kitchen table. It's in a living room. It might be at a coffee shop, but it's discipleship, one-on-one with a couple, with a family. And that was the truth with Carol, her husband, Fernando. Began to come at the invitation of some neighbors and were unsaved, but as I was able to do a Bible study in their home, they understood that they needed to accept Christ as their personal Savior. And through the course of several years, as they grew in their faith, they began to understand, you know, we need to get married. We're just living together. We need to get married. And it was really a special time to see them get baptized. Shortly after they got baptized, to have the first wedding in our new building and see them come before God, before the family, church family, and take that covenant of marriage to each other, to God. And Fernando now is our second treasurer, serving in leadership capacity at the church. And to see them grow step by step, not always in our timing, but to see them grow in God's timing and His way has been a real treat and a blessing. Gabriel, he comes alone. His parents aren't real interested in spiritual things, but I had the chance to help Victor, which is in the Brazil t-shirt, grow in Christ and become a stronger Christian. And then Victor and I were able to start a Bible study with Gabriel, and then Victor finished that Bible study. And that was my goal, is to see people take over, people take my place. And I hope that that's happening here at Emmanuel. that yes, your leadership is busy and doing things for God, but I pray that they're being able to hand over things and seeing other people take the baton and go forward with discipleship. So Gabriel accepted Christ. Then he got baptized. Victor, the day of his baptism, was able to stand next to him and pray and thank the Lord for his growth. And then to see him, his parents weren't present. He didn't have relatives present, but his church family was there to celebrate this day that he identified with Christ. He wasn't embarrassed. Gabriel's kind of a shy guy, but this day he was boldly proclaiming through baptism, I identify with Jesus Christ, my personal Savior. George, in the middle, I first met in our neighborhood as we were building both of our home, and he was building his home at the same time. And then he began to participate in English outreach events. And George is a very intelligent man, very successful financially. And it was neat to see through the course of a time of friendship develop. But it was about 5 years before he came to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And just working in his life, God used Rafael in the white t-shirt, a fellow Christian, to also develop a relationship with Georgie, share the gospel just week in and week out, and do a Bible study in Georgie's home, and then see Georgie, who had grown up a spiritist, had grown up and learned a lot about spiritual things, but to see him come to know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. And then about a week before he got baptized, his wife Claudia accepted Christ at their kitchen table when Kim and her were doing a Bible study together. So this is part of discipleship. This is where really a lot of the growth happens. See, Georgie also identified with Christ in baptism. Malcolm and Michele, invited by neighbors. There's a neighborhood of like a fellowship get-together, and some of our church family that was a part of that neighborhood invited Malcolm and Michele to come to church. And in the weeks to follow, we were able to do a Bible study. Moisir in the white pullover is one of our deacons. His wife accepted Christ in our ministry. They've grown, and now he is deacon, one of the deacons, and she is a deacon's wife and very active in ministry. But he was involved in doing the Bible study with Malcolm and Michele, and seeing Michele come to know Christ your Savior. Malcolm had already known Christ, but was out of church for about 10 years. And they've really enjoyed coming to our church and being part of the church family. This was taken right before we left. Church purpose statement's in the background. And the bottom part of the purpose statement says to reproduce churches for the glory of Christ. And so my prayer is that it won't stop here. We don't want this to be the final picture. We want this body of believers to be on fire for Christ and to reach more people in the neighborhood. There's a lot of people still that need to be reached for Christ in Itupeva and Junjai and that whole area. But beyond our region, we want the gospel to go forth. And we're beginning to see the fruit of that. Alex and Angela, Alex spoke a couple months ago at our church. He was in the first youth group that we helped while I was learning the language. I was sharing with Pastor Chris and Martha coming back from the airport on Friday night. I'm not sure all of the heresies that I taught at that point, but he was in the first junior high Sunday school class, and we were working through some material together as best as I knew how. But he later surrendered to the call of the ministry and is pastoring a church about an hour from us in another city called Campinas. And we have a number of pastors from our previous ministries that are doing that in southern Brazil and other states in Brazil. Katia, who helped us with our children's ministry, who you saw a picture, she's going to be going to northern Brazil and working with a church plant up in that area. And this is our missions magnet board in the back of our church. We are supporting Brazilian missionaries to Argentina. And that's part of reproducing churches for the glory of God, is to be able to send out. You sent us out to be able to plant the seed and water the seed of missionaries even before us, to see the church body grow. And now the church is reproducing that whole process again, sending people out to minister as pastors and pastors' wives and a missionary lady up in the northern Brazil, and now this missionary couple in Argentina that we have a part of their support planting a church and helping missions advance in Argentina. And that is part of what you are doing for the cause of Christ. Amen? Let's just take a minute and thank God for that. Like I said, we have a small part, and we want to thank the Lord for the team that He's has raised up for his glory. God, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you're faithful. Thank you, Lord, that today in Itupeva, your word was preached. And a big part of that was because people here in Pinedale, in Sublette County, have prayed, they've given, they've been faithful to their ministry here, and in that way have extended their ministry, have advanced the cause of Christ to Brazil and even beyond. God, I pray for Adriano as he preaches your word in Argentina. Lord, I pray for Odair and Danilo, Marcio and Diego, Alex, and others, Lord, of our ministries that are in different places now ministering the gospel, that you would bless the cause of Christ. Lord, we ask these things in your name. Amen. Okay. How can I blank it out? There you go. Amen. I want to finish with two ideas as we finish our time this morning, but I need two volunteers. Okay, I need two volunteers. I'll be nice. I'll get voluntold. Oh, good, Nate. Okay, Nate, Gannett, come on up. Amen. I was debating on what ball to use because it's not the exact measurement I needed, but we're going to represent the sun. So this, maybe I should go with this, okay? Nate, you're a little taller than Gannett, so we're going to have you be the sun. Why don't you stand over here, okay? Good. The idea of this is the sun is a pretty big thing, right? So we can't really grasp the size of the sun. But John Hopkins University, someone did some research and kind of scaled it down and came up with some numbers. I'm not a scientist, but came up with some numbers that if we were to scale it down to a size that we can kind of see easily, it would be about 3 inches in diameter. This is a little bit larger, so don't tell anybody, but a little bit larger than this. So about the size of an orange or a tennis ball would represent the sun. Okay, and then we're going to go, I'm going to give you a little pebble here, Gannett. Not that that's what you're worth, but you know, you're just going to represent that well, this little pebble, okay? And this represents the earth from the sun, kind of in size. And let's see, can you hold that, Nate? This goes 16 feet. Yeah, that's 14. Let's go to 15. 15 feet, okay, you can release. All right, and let's see, we want to do about 10 more feet. So Gannett, come on over this way a little bit. 8, 9, 10, right here, Gannett, okay? Right there. So that would be about the distance if we were to scale it down. We just sang together, you know, about God's majesty and how the heavens declare the glory work in Psalm 19. It talks about the heavens declare the glory work, you know, of God. And there's not many places that I know of that you can see that more clearly than right here in Pinedale, Wyoming. I'm always amazed at how many stars are in the sky. I mean, they're always there, right? But you just can't see them all the time. So as we came in Friday night, and I was walking into Pastor Chris and Martha's house, Pastor Chris just said, he was pointing out stars. You know, this is Venus, this is, you know, and this and that, and he said, and that's kind of the Milky Way. You see that? And I looked up in the sky, and you could see, you know, the cloudy, you know, thought there, and I was just amazed again that stars are beautiful. They're amazing. When I was a counselor at Redcliffe, I was dating Kim at the time, and I didn't have a smartphone. Email was not really a big deal at the time, so I was writing letters, you know. Teenagers, do you know what it is to write a letter? I mean, you use a pen, paper, and you write. And I was trying to be Mr. Romance, you know. And so one night after my campers were in bed, I snuck out. Mr. Dean, I did. But snuck out on the porch, and it was a full moon. And I wrote a letter to my sweetheart in the moonlight. And I told her, I'm writing a letter in the moonlight, Kim. And I'm sure she's like, oh, so what? So I was trying to be Mr. Romance. But I was amazed at just the beauty of that. At another occasion at camp, we had a scientist come up from Bob Jones, and we all, the kids were there. We laid on our backs, and he was teaching us some things about the sky and the stars and all these things. And I'm always amazed. There's an estimate of possibly 100 billion stars in our galaxy. Now, I don't know who counts those. I don't know how they come up with that estimate. But nonetheless, that's a lot of stars. The closest star to the sun would be about 14, if it was on this scale, would be about 1,400 miles away. So it would be in like Louisville, Kentucky region. And that's a long ways. So all that to say this, why missions? When the stars are that amazing, you can see God's handiwork. Okay, y'all can sit down. Nate, you're good. You did a great job. Very good. You just put the sun down, Nate. Amen. All right, the earth is there on the chair. But look with me in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Tell you what, let's do this. Let's look at Romans 1 first. Let's look at Romans 1 first. Romans chapter 1. Verses 15 through 20. Paul says this, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. We see the stars clearly. We see the sun clearly. Last night coming back from the rodeo, we saw a sliver of the moon very clearly. It was beautiful. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, verse 20, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The stars, as magnificent as they are, the creation, God's creation, as phenomenal as God's creation is not enough. And so God has chosen as a better way even than the stars. And this is hard for me to imagine, but to use you and to use me to be messengers of the gospel. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 5, 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that He died for all, that they which should live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors, the idea of messengers. Okay, can we say this? We already learned or were reminded in Sunday school, we are the church. Can we just say this? We are messengers. Okay, here we go, all together. One, two, three. We are messengers. If you are a messenger, there has to be somebody to receive the message, right? I mean, if I'm given a message, then I expect to give the message to someone. If I'm going to send a message on my cell phone, generally, there should be a receiver. And so as we are messengers of reconciliation, God wants us to be reminded that there are receivers, there are people that need to hear that message. So better than the stars, as amazing as the stars are, we are messengers of reconciliation. Follow on. So we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The stars will not tell your neighbor about Jesus Christ. As beautiful as the snow, the powdery snow in Pinedale, Jackson, and skiing and all those things, and the animals that you have here that we don't have in Georgia, and we certainly don't have in Brazil. We have other animals in Brazil, but not these animals. All those things, they're not going to tell your neighbor. They're not going to tell your coworker about Jesus Christ. But you know who can? You can. And God wants you to. God wants you to be reminded that you are a messenger. You may not be one that stands up here every Sunday or behind a pulpit in the classroom or maybe up at camp, but you are a messenger. It doesn't say here, for some of us are ambassadors of Christ. It says that we collectively are ambassadors or messengers of Christ. Secondly, to finish up, we are letters of recommendation. So we're not only messengers, but our very life, our testimony, how we act, how we interact, how we speak, how we love, how we don't love, serves as a letter of recommendation. Go with me in 2 Corinthians, a little bit back. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and verses 1 through 3. 2 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3. Paul asks this question. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as you're manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, so he's not talking about here a normal letter, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Paul is reminding these people at the church in Corinth, you are letters of recommendation. As you live, as you interact, as you rub shoulders with people, they will look at your life. And the testimony and the story that God is writing on your heart, fleshly hearts. And people are watching. People are beginning to observe or have been observing your life to think, is that what I want? So I ask you this morning, the stars are awesome, but they're not enough. And better than the stars, we are messengers of reconciliation, but as part of being that message, we are letters of recommendation, our very life. When's the last time? Or let me ask you this way, how effective is your letter of recommendation to other people? As you begin to talk about Jesus Christ, or maybe as it comes up, maybe you didn't even mean it on purpose, but it comes up, and people around you, are they surprised? Is their first reaction, oh, really? You're a Christian? You know Christ? You go to Emmanuel? You help up at camp? Or would they say, I knew something was different. I've seen how you love. I've seen how you live. I've seen how you interact and you reach out to people. I've seen how you love someone that you call your Savior. And from your letter of recommendation, that's what I want. I want to challenge you as you go forward this week, the rest of the summer, in Pinedale and in Jackson. Counselors, as you go back to Montana, to Florida, to different Idaho and different states that you're from, remember, we are messengers. And if we're messengers, then there are people who need to hear the message. But not only that, we are letters of recommendation. And I need to always evaluate, how effective is my letter? Will people watch my life and people will watch your life and think, that's what I need and that's exactly what I want? Or will they look at our letter and go, I don't know what they're trying to recommend, but it's not for me. Would you bow your head and close your eyes as we close this morning? For those of you who are Christians, my first challenge to you would be this. Would you say, hey, Brother David, God has, He's spoken my heart. Because there's some neighbors, there's some co-workers, there's some fellow classmates that I've not been a good messenger to. I've not been an effective letter of recommendation to. It may be for a number of reasons. It may be because you were embarrassed, or it may be just because you were busy. But as you reflect on that this morning, God, the Holy Spirit is working in your heart to say, help me to be a faithful messenger of reconciliation. Help me to be an effective and living letter of recommendation to someone maybe that God has brought to your mind and your heart. Maybe some that you haven't met, but you know that live around you or work close to you or go to the same classroom that you do. Say, Brother David, pray for me because I want to be that type of messenger of reconciliation, and I want to be an effective letter of recommendation. Anybody this morning, Brother David, pray for me. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. But maybe again you're here this morning and you would say, I've been watching. I've been observing these people that call themselves Christians. Maybe as a child you'd say, I've been observing my parents who say they know Christ. And I pray and I hope that they've been good messengers. I pray that they've been good letters of recommendation. But I want to invite you, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that this morning you make that decision. You would put your faith in Jesus. Maybe you're here and you'd say, Brother David, that's the decision that I need to make. And I would like someone after the service to open God's Word and share with me clearly how I can ask Jesus to forgive me my sins and put my faith in Him to be my personal Savior. Is there anybody like that this morning? Maybe young, perhaps old, but you'd say, this is the decision that I need to make. Anybody this morning? Brother David, pray for me. God, thank you for your Word. I do thank you for the stars, for the sun, for the moon, for the galaxy, for the beauty that we can just look up on any given night here in Pinedale and up at camp and see just a glimpse, just a small sliver of your majesty. God, I pray you'd help us to be reminded that better than the stars, and I don't understand this, but you've chosen me. You've chosen this group of people to be messengers, to go out and verbally talk about Jesus Christ. You've called us to be letters of recommendation, that as people watch us, as they work with us, as they maybe are involved in hobbies with us, that they would see that our life is constantly pointing other people to Jesus Christ. And others would want to know Jesus as their Savior because of our life. God, I pray you'd help us to be faithful. Help us to serve you. Thank you for your love, for your power, and for the opportunity and privilege to be messengers and letters. In Jesus' name, amen.